Grace, mercy, and peace upon you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion of the gospel lesson beginning at verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the word of our Lord given to us this first Sunday in Lent. Please be seated. Who won? Who won? If you were watching the game or listening to the game and for some reason you were interrupted, that's the question that's bothering you all night long. And when you wake up in the morning, that's usually the first question that pops in your mind. Who won? Mark tells us about Jesus going into the desert to be tempted by the enemy, to be tempted by Satan. And then he stops right there. He shows us that Jesus goes out to be tempted by the adversary. By the way, in the Greek, it's Satana. And that's exactly what Satana means. The adversary, the one who's against God, or the one who's against us. And that's all that he says. Mark doesn't tell us the final score. Well, anyway, he doesn't tell us right away. He says that there's only a confrontation between the tempter and Jesus. Who won? Well, finally, Jesus himself tells us who won. Later on, in two chapters later, Jesus says, "In fact, no one can enter the strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house." Jesus tells us in the gospel according to Mark that he won. Mark leaves it to Jesus. And Jesus tells us that he is the victor. He is the one who has won. He hasn't won for himself, dear ones. He has won for you. We are the sinners. We are the ones who can never win the battle by ourselves. As the great hymn that we just sang, if we tried to take the field by what we do and go into battle with Satan, you and I would lose every single time. Oh, for whatever. We would lose every single time. Without Jesus, we would have no hope. The temptations would come, and the temptations would come and come and come because Satan doesn't stop, and finally we would succumb to the temptations. We would do what Satan is tempting us to do. Because we are sinful human beings, you and especially I. This is our experience. When we are tempted, we kind of play around with sin, don't we? We like to kind of think about it and we try to maybe resist it for a little while, but then finally we think, well, maybe it won't be so bad, and we find out that it is bad. And then, even worse, we find ourselves beginning to take shortcuts. We try to work around God's will. Well, I know that God said I shouldn't do this, but maybe just this one tiny little time. God won't mind. By the way, maybe God's not looking and maybe I can get away with it. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it with whom I want to do it. In other words, it's all about me, myself, and I. We become like Paul. We do the things that we do not want to do, and we know that we should not do them. But the things that we should do, we can't do them because we can't do them. Because we're sinners. You and I, we have this issue. We have this problem. We have this fault. We are sinners. And this is the struggle. This is the struggle between Satan and us. And then there was a struggle that Jesus took on for us as he himself went into the wilderness. There in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were confronted by the tempter. They were confronted by the evil one. And they succumbed to his temptation. Adam had the authority. He had the authority to stop Satan in his tracks. Adam said nothing. Adam said nothing at all. And you and I fell into sin, and Adam and Eve fell into sin. And this world is full of sin. You know it and I know it. All you have to do is watch the news or listen to the news. We are drowning in a sea of sin each and every single day. And it's because Adam and Eve did not listen. They did not obey God. You see, the stakes are very, very high as Jesus goes out into the wilderness. And Jesus isn't being tempted just to commit a few immoral acts, by the way. Satan wants Jesus not to go to the cross. Satan wants Jesus to fail. And if Jesus fails, he doesn't go here, and you and I don't go there. We don't go to heaven. You see, the stakes are very, very, very high. Satan, your adversary, as you know, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You are his food. He wants to devour you. Specifically, he wants to devour your faith. He doesn't want you to confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He wants you, dear one, he wants you to die. Not physically to die, because he knows you're going to happen. That's going to happen anyway. He wants you to die spiritually. On the great last day, he wants all of you to go with him into everlasting hellfire. You see, his temptations are really designed with that in mind. He wants you to not believe in Jesus. Just as he tempted Eve. Did God really say? God did not say that. He says the same thing to you and me even today. God doesn't say that you could not or that you could do that. Why, the law, don't worry about the law. Go ahead and break it, and maybe God will forgive you. Don't worry about it. Eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus, from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus, dear ones, took the initiative. He took the initiative to confront Satan for each and every one of us. It is Jesus who willingly went into the desert, out there in the wilderness where there is nothing, by the way. There is no food, and there is no drink, and there are no human beings, only the wild animals. And Jesus is surrounded by all of this. And for every single moment he is there, he is being tempted by Satan to fail for you. He wants Jesus to disobey his Father, just as Adam and Eve disobeyed their Creator. He especially wanted Jesus to take the easy way out. Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross, and you don't have to die for these miserable human beings. Are they really worth it after all? No, Jesus, just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, which, by the way, is a lie, because none of the kingdoms belong to Satan anyway. You see, as Jesus tells us, Satan is a liar, and he is the father of lies, and he was a murderer from the beginning, and he wants to murder your faith. And he works every single moment to do this. Yet Jesus obeyed his Father's will. Jesus used the Word. The Logos used the Logos to defeat Satan. Jesus took the field for us. He is our valiant one who went into battle, and he won for you and for me. And in doing so, Jesus won the cross. We may think that when Jesus was hanging on the cross that he was defeated. No, here, dear ones, is where Satan was defeated. Here it was the ultimate battle. and here it was fought, and here's where Jesus won. Here Jesus cried out, "Tetelestate, it is finished," and Satan was done, forever done. And Satan knows this, but he's not going to give up. He wants you miserable human beings to turn away from your Savior and to follow him into hell. But you see, Jesus has paved a better road for us, a golden road that leads directly to his kingdom. Oh, it's a narrow road for sure. It is a very narrow road. And Jesus is that road. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. He is the only way. It's not Satan. It's not your fellow man. It's not your family. It's not your money. It's not anything that you have. Only Jesus. Jesus did for you and for me what we were unable and unwilling to do. He put Satan in his place. As you read the gospel according to Mark, you'll find that from chapter 1, verse 13, and all the way to the end, every time that Jesus was confronted by Satan, Jesus used the word, and Satan and his demons, his minions, were defeated. That's because Jesus has power and authority. And you know, he gave us the same power and authority here in his word, the sword of the Spirit. The problem, dear one, is that you and I, we often refuse to pick up this sword of the Spirit and to use it. And that's why we offer Bible classes where we pick up the sword of the Spirit and we use it. And that's why I will continually encourage you to come at 9 o'clock to be here, to pick up your sword and learn how to use it. For if you don't use it, you will certainly die. Dear friends, continue to hear the word. And as you continue to hear the word, your faith will be strengthened and the sword becomes stronger. Continue to come to his altar to receive that nourishment of body and blood, and the sword will become stronger. But you have to be able to carry the sword, and you have to be willing to carry the sword. You see, you have power and authority also. The same power and authority that Adam had, Jesus has given to us. Will we use it, or will we be like Adam and keep our mouth shut and not use the word when those temptations come? You've all heard this before. To the victor goes the spoils. Jesus claims his spoils. Jesus claims all of you there at the font. And he did this. He claimed his spoils. He claimed his children with great agony and beautiful joy. You see, Jesus came to preach the truth. He came to preach the gospel. This is what we see in verse 14 of our lesson this morning. He came to preach the word of truth. The gospel is identical with Jesus. When we speak of Jesus, we are speaking of the gospel. When we speak of the gospel, we are speaking of Jesus. When we speak of other things that are not gospel, that is not speaking about Jesus, and it's not the gospel. That's just the plain truth. Because when Jesus speaks the gospel, he is speaking of himself and what he's going to do for you and what he continues to do for each and every one of you, to shed his blood and to give you his body and to proclaim to you the forgiveness of all of your sins, the strengthening of your faith. You see, it is this gospel that brings you that Satan defeating power. And Jesus gives this power to you freely. What is this power? What is this one little word that fails the devil every time? It's the gospel. Jesus came and died for me. He shed his holy, innocent blood for me. And because Jesus has died for me, I am free. For the Son has set me free. And since the Son has set me free, I am free indeed, Satan. You have no power over me. Satan is defeated. That's the power of the gospel. Or when your neighbor sins against you, or when you sin against your neighbor, you reconcile. You say, please forgive me. And you say, I forgive you. That's the sword of the Spirit. That is the gospel message. And Satan is defeated every single time. This is the Lord's message for all of us today. And this is what Jesus has done for us. He has gone out into the wilderness to win the victory for us. And he knows that in this life, Satan's not going to give up. He's going to try to drive you into great sin and shame and despair. He wants you to turn away from your Savior and to follow Him. But Jesus gives us the sword of the Spirit. He gives us the gospel. He gives us Himself. Use Him. Believe in Him. Proclaim His name. Proclaim His gospel. It is by His word that His kingdom is extended. And by announcing Jesus, you, dear one, are defeating Satan, and you are proclaiming the truth of what Jesus has already done for you. Tell your neighbor, tell your friend what Jesus has done for you. Oh, sure, Satan's going to resist. He's the adversary, remember? And he's going to use every means possible to resist you. But you have a champion, the champion who spilled his blood and rose on the third day, and was coming for you again, of whom Satan has no power over, just as he has no power over any of you. You see, Jesus has done this vicariously. Vicariously tempted for you. Vicariously dying for you. And then on that great third day, he rose from the dead to seal the deal. You and I two will live with him because he announces to you today, he announces to all of us, all your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.